Hey, Warheads, this is another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here with the combination of friends that we haven't seen together in quite some time. It is Chris and Mark.
Again, I have to say, the band is back together.
The band! You're in a lot of bands.
Man, I tell you what, I'm just fired up. Mark, it's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too.
How long has it been? It's been since, I mean, the last time you guys were here with me, just the three of us, wasn't like episode 15 or something like that?
It was close, but that's all right, because Mark is my slump buster, baby.
Do you know what a slump buster is?
I am, but we're going clean here because, darn it, you have been kicking my backside for way too many episodes. Now, Mark, with his awesome questions, I'm going to hope to come back and actually do some winning here.
Just to enlighten anybody listening.
No, don't do it.
No, it's, I need to. I think I need to.
You can't do that, man.
I certainly
can. Your niece is listening.
I am well-spoken. Give me a chance. For those of you listening who might be mystified at what Chris is referring to when he says a slump buster, let's just say that athletes have been known when they're on the road to frequent certain people's houses to engage in some fun activities that they're hoping will break them out of their slumps the next night. So
check out the show notes. Jonathan will tell you more.
So when Chris calls Mark his slump buster, I have to ask, what have you guys been doing without me?
Well,
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. But
you look nervous,
I'm
Mark.
Talking about the break.
I'm clenching a little.
Wow. It's so not fair. That's not what I meant. It's not what I meant at all. And you guys are taking it way out of context.
Before we get rolling in here, we have a listener-submitted warm-up question.
Nice.
So
right.
Before we warm it up, Chris, we're going to warm up with this one, okay? This one is submitted by Dave Nelson.
So warm it up, Dave.
That's right. Warm it up, Dave. Dave, if you'll remember, is the one who submitted the Sir Mix-a-Lot question
a few weeks back. Love the Sir Mix-a-Lot question.
That was great.
So
this is another music question. Dave asks, the group Survivor is really well known for its song on the Rocky III soundtrack, but they also did a song on the Rocky IV soundtrack. Name both songs.
Okay. Well, we know the one from Rocky III is Eye of the Tiger.
Right.
I mean, which was also beautifully spoofed by Survivor on the Starbucks commercial. Roy! Which was great.
It was also spoofed by Weird Al Yankovic.
Rye or the Kaiser.
Yeah. Look at Mark.
Nice. I forgot all about that song. I was like, really? You're 100%. Nice job. Okay, so I think I know the answer to this.
Which, the song on Rocky IV soundtrack?
I believe it's called Burning Hearts.
Mark, what do you think?
Now that he said that, I think it's good. I'm going to go with High on You.
I loved High on You, by the way.
Yeah.
The answer that Dave gave
for the
song on the Rocky IV soundtrack, Burning Heart.
Yes!
Wow. Well played.
That was really good. I'm impressed, Chris.
This starts my game off well, and it can only go downhill from here.
Well done, man. Good job.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
I think it's time to warm it up.
Warm it up, Chris!
I'm about to.
Warm it up, Chris!
That's what I was born into.
Gentlemen, you know I like a good football question.
I know you do.
And as a matter of fact, we're having this...
I hope you give us one.
No, fair enough. We're having a trivia contest with my local Y, and it's a part of a contest that we're doing. And they asked actually the question that's the number one answer for this. And I was like, you know what? Let's dive in a little bit deeper.
So you're going to ask us a question that you got as a part of a YMCA contest question.
Okay, yes. Cool. The question was that the YMCA asked was, what state has more NFL Hall of Famers in it than any other state?
That were born there?
Yes, that were born in that state.
Okay, not living there now.
That's correct.
Because I'd go Florida all the way.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. But no.
Snowbirds!
That were born in that state.
Okay.
So I have the top six because I was going to give you the number one. However, I think you guys look like...
No, I'd like to figure it out.
Okay. Yeah,
so
let's try.
We're going to go back and forth. And so, Mark, I'm going to go ahead and start with you.
Due to quarterbacks, I'm going to say Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is the number two state.
Okay.
Due to their absolute love of football, I'm going Texas.
Texas is the number four state.
How about California?
California, number one with a bullet.
California is the place you ought to be. They packed up the truck and they moved to Beverly
Hills, that is.
Swimming pools.
Fancy cars.
Isn't it movie stars?
I think it was movie stars.
Oh, it was movie stars. I thought fancy cars was part of it.
I don't remember.
Okay. First thing you know, old Jim's a millionaire.
Okay. I'm going Florida.
Florida is tied for the sixth spot.
There we go. Oh, so there's actually seven.
There's actually eight. Number six has three tied for it. Florida's one of them.
My goodness.
So you've got number one, you got number two, you got number four, and you got one of the number sixes.
So we're looking for number
three, number five, and six. That's right. Okay. Not 666, however.
That's right.
That's just evil.
You brought a devil question to this game, Chris. It had three sixes.
All right, Mark.
What about Ohio?
Ohio, number three. By the
way,
Mark has number one, has number two, and number three.
What are you trying to say?
You're batting cleanup for him, man.
I'm quitting while I'm ahead.
All right.
Just drop the mic and walk out.
No, we haven't even started yet. Don't do that. Yeah. Okay, it's getting harder now.
Yep. We have not had a miss yet, by the way.
I know. I'm
starting to feel the pressure.
I am.
You are sweating a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. That's also because I'm fat.
Hey, fat's where it's at, man.
Gosh. Okay. We named all of the ones that I would have considered obvious at this point. Southern is what I'm thinking. A lot of people in the South love their college football, and that kind of influences kids to try out and to try and go play. So I'm going to go with a Southern state that might be tied for number six and say Alabama.
That is incorrect. The first miss.
On it.
That's what I was going to say, so I'm glad you took it.
Now, since both of you guys had the same number of turns now, I will say two are Midwest states and one is a Northeast state.
Oh.
All right. So, Mark, we'll go over to you.
I was going to say something, but I don't believe it would be considered Midwest. So I'm going to go with Nebraska.
Nebraska is incorrect.
Glad you said Nebraska. I was thinking about it. I'm going to try and hit that Northeast, and I'm going to say New York.
New York is correct. Oh. Tied for sixth.
Iowa.
Iowa is incorrect.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, incorrect.
Oh, no!
All right, I'm going to go with Michigan.
Michigan, incorrect.
All right, last guess.
All right.
Illinois.
Illinois is number five on the list.
Chicago, baby. I went for the big cities.
That's right. And then tied for sixth, Wisconsin.
Really?
Wisconsin.
How many of those were offensive linemen?
That's a great question. Actually, I can pull up the list for you if you want.
No, you don't have to do that.
That will bore everybody to tears that's listening.
I would bet you that the highest proportion of those states to produce offensive linemen would be Wisconsin.
Yep.
The cheese intake is amazing. And,
well played. I like where you went with that.
Well played. So that is your Warm It Up Chris question of the day.
And exciting news about the Warm It Up Chris question of the day. One of the things that I like to do is try and find ways for people to participate in the show with us, right? I think that you guys have great ideas out there on what we could do for Warm It Up Chris questions. You know that Chris has to go out and research and find these goofy kind of off-the-wall questions, and they're not easy to find, but that's because he's one man. So if you think you've got a good Warm It Up Chris question for us, please email it to warmitupchris@yahoo.com. That's the words warm it up Chris, no spaces, @yahoo.com.
And it's the traditional spelling for Chris, C-H-R-I-S. I'm not a Chris with a K. It's not C-R-I-S. It's C-H-R-I-S. So.
That's right. So warmitupchris@yahoo.com. If you've got any ideas and you want to get credit for coming up with a question for the show, we're gonna name you and we're going to put it out there.
Also, because if you're going, wow, Chris is giving another sports-related Warm It Up Chris question, this is terrible. Hey, guess what? You can bring that terrible question to us. We're all in. We're excited for you.
We want your terrible questions.
We need your help. Okay, I need your help. I am just one person. I need an army. I need a Trivial Warfare army.
You have an army.
All right. You have a Hulk? No. You have an army? I have a Hulk.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to get started. Why don't we get this game started?
All right. Mark, it's all you, man.
First question of the game. Category is geography. How many states border the Great Lakes?
Are you okay over there? Good Lord. Beefy.
What's that? Is that Manwich or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was beefy.
We're not counting Canadian provinces, are we?
Hey.
No. No, states.
Okay, you can talk it out.
So, Minnesota, Illinois. I'm not great with the Midwestern to Northeast geography in that region, so this is all I am struggling, just so you know.
That's why Mark asked the question. He's like, okay, I think Jonathan's going to struggle with Midwest questions.
Yeah, I Chris-geared the questions this week.
Michigan. Ohio? I'm really bad. I've looked at it 100 times, and I've never memorized it for some stupid reason, but the Indiana, Ohio, Iowa grouping of states, I can never figure out where they are. And so one of them borders, I know that Illinois is just a sliver touching Lake Michigan, where Chicago is, and then it moves into one of those states, and it has to be Ohio, because it's near the Cuyahoga River, the Akron, and that's Ohio.
He's just making up words now.
So that's Ohio. Mm-hmm.
Cuyahoga, whatever.
That was the river that got lit on fire.
Oh, in Cleveland?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Everything gets set on fire in Cleveland.
Even the water. Okay, so that's four.
Even LeBron James's career.
Oh.
Minnesota, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, I think, on the left-hand side. I think Ohio and Indiana, maybe a touch of West Virginia. New York. New York touches it at Niagara Falls. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to say 9.
Okay. I thought the answer was either 5 or 6. I thought it was a lot smaller than that. So I ended up putting them 6.
The answer is 8.
Oh!
Iowa does not touch.
Doggone those silly states. Okay, now, Ohio, I remember you guys and your Flaming River, and I know we have listeners in Ohio, but Iowa, I need somebody to help me out with that next time, all right? You guys got to do better up there.
You got to hook a brother up here. Come on. Stupid!
Doggone it, I was so close.
Johnson's like, this, I'm out of here.
It was probably West Virginia. I added West Virginia at the end. I bet it doesn't touch.
No, it doesn't.
But there was one I didn't. Do you know, could you name the states that touch?
I could probably rattle them off.
Oh, you don't have them written down?
No, I don't have them.
Okay, that's a show note. That'll be...
Did you say Wisconsin?
No.
Yeah, Wisconsin does.
Doggone it. I thought about Minnesota up there with the big curve. But, all right, so if you guys want to know...
Jonathan likes big curves.
Hey.
And he cannot lie.
No. If you guys want to know those states, go to the show notes page at trivialwarfare.com.
All right, your next category is science.
Science!
Science.
What is the large flat muscle that pulls air into the lungs called?
I can write it down.
Yeah, I'll write it down.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, I'm going to say, because it just came to me and I don't want to forget it, diaphragm.
I said diaphragm.
You are correct.
Nice. I'll take it.
So 10 to 10 after two questions.
That's right.
Movies is your next category.
Movies!
I somehow think both of you guys are going to get this. Who played the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars The Phantom Menace?
Oh, I'm glad I'm glad I listened to the whole question.
All right.
What's that dude's name?
Oh, okay. I was going to do 3, 2, 1, but
I was all over Alec Guinness for a second there.
He only knows it's Alec Guinness because of the beer.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's that guy's name?
Here, I'm going to write it down real quick.
Yeah, you need to write it down because I can't remember his name.
Okay. Talk away. Angst away, my friend. Angst away.
Stupid Ethan Hawke's in my head. Get out of there, dude. What's his name?
He's so dreamy for you.
Oh, God. What's Sean? What?
P. Diddy.
What's this guy's name? Holy crap, I'm so blanking on this right now. I can come up with Hayden Christensen, for God's sakes. I see his face so perfectly. What's really sad is I know his name. Obviously, I know his name.
You're going to kick yourself.
And I'm going to have to give up because it's not even close to my brain right now. I don't even see it on the horizon.
You crying, Uncle?
I'm going to have to say Uncle. Oh,
okay.
No.
Jonathan calls Uncle. It's the Scotsman, Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Ewan McGregor. You know what's bad? I was at least 10 minutes away from getting that answer.
At least. It felt like it was 10 minutes already.
It was only 2.
Oh.
I was at least 10. It was not anywhere close.
Yeah, he was in Trainspotting. Mm. He was in a bunch of really good movies beforehand. So Oh, fun question. It was great to watch him squirm. So, at the end of one round, Jonathan, I am slightly in the lead, 20 to 10.
Ewan McGregor. You know, that's a case of when you don't pay attention to something for a number, like year upon year, it just fades out.
Yeah. No,
it just goes out.
But this also, when we're playing pub trivia, where you're looking at me going, okay, good, John, Chris is on my team. It's a Star Wars question. We're okay.
You're right.
That's one thing I notice whenever I write questions a lot of the time. If it's happened 15, 20, 25 years ago, it's easier to remember. If it's happened in the past like 5 years, it's easy. But there's that black hole.
That's so true.
That time frame
That's
where things
really a good point.
Don't
right.
show up. Yeah.
You're right. For us, that period in our lives is the year around the year 2000.
Yeah.
After we were out of high school, after we were out of college.
And we stopped paying attention to
things.
But
we were young adults and we were busy doing our own thing. Mm-hmm. That's that region where it's hard for us to remember stuff. Yeah,
that's a really good call.
Mm-hmm. All right, first category of the next round, music. Within 1 foot either way, how long is a trombone if you uncoil it?
Oh, wow.
It's still all together, but as far stretched as it can be?
Yes.
I think it's what they call the seventh position.
So okay.
The only reason I remember that is from a West Wing episode that I literally watched just the other day.
How many other positions are there, Chris?
I'm imagining there's probably seven total.
The Kama Sutra of trombones.
Wow. Really?
That's how many different... Never mind.
Really, dude? Everything is dirty to Jonathan in this episode.
The dirty trombones.
That's right. Oh, that's a band name if I ever heard one. Yeah.
The dirty trombones.
Yes.
That's pretty good. All right. Okay, how long?
I am actually going to write my answer down. Okay, answer in.
Okay, so if it's fully coiled, I guess, probably what Chris would call the first position, I'm guessing now.
It was West Wing that said
I'm making
it,
stuff
me.
Up. Just let me go. Let me flow. I'm betting that it's like 2.5 to 3 feet at its shortest. That thing looks like it's another 3 feet long. So you said within a foot either way. I am going to say 6 feet.
Okay. The seventh position thing made me think of it in feet, and so I put 7 feet.
It would be 9 feet.
Oh!
Wow.
Man, you gotta have some long old arms for that junk.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Man, okay, yeah.
I gotta remember on those questions that he's asking for a range, technically. Don't go with what you think the right answer is. Go with what you think it might be around.
Well, plus the bell curls up around, and it sort of doubles back a little, too.
No, but...
So even if you stretch to the last position, the bell kind of...
You mean if it was flattened, like, the bell,
If you uncoil it.
I didn't understand the question.
You're thinking.
I was thinking if you just took the trombone as is and extended it as far as possible.
Not uncoil.
You're saying you bend it, you take the metal, unfold it, flatten it.
You bend it like Beckham. That's right.
I would have gone
9 feet probably.
Somewhere in that range if I'd have realized that. Yeah.
Dun 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 dun.
Doggone it.
All right, let's go with games. How many slides are there on a Sorry game board?
I can't tell you the last time I played the game Sorry. I'm feeling kind of sorry I don't play Sorry right now.
I think I played it 10 years ago, maybe a little less.
There's some logic behind it.
How many slides are there in the game of Sorry?
I'll write down an answer.
Okay. It's going to be a very short conversation I have with everybody because I really don't know. It's going to be...
All right, I'm locked in.
Because Mark tried to give us a slight hint by saying there's a thought process behind it or whatever the wording he used.
Yeah, it's a very slight hint.
Yeah. But so, I mean, if you spell out the words S-O-R-R-Y, I mean, that's five. And so part of me wants to think it might be the number five because of that. I can't remember the game. That's the thing that stinks. I mean, because I thought it might be the pop. Is it the pop-up game that you, like, hit and like, the little dice and the little bubble
Don't
thing?
Don't tell the man anything.
Well, no, I'm just... Okay, can you tell...
I'm not telling you that.
Can you retell... Can you tell me after I give the answer then? Because...
Oh, sure.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
All right, thank you. You know what? I'm going to go with five.
Okay. You're thinking of Boggle.
Oh, no.
No, isn't that Troubles?
Trouble. That's what I'm thinking of.
What is
Trouble?
Boggle?
That's where you have the cup with the dice.
Yeah.
What's Boggart?
A made-up game?
I was going to say...
Animal Harry Potter?
I was going to say Animal Harry Potter.
I said four because there's four characters, and I think each one of them has like a safe zone or something that they start in, and I think the slide takes you back there or something.
Okay, I gotcha.
Some said four.
Well, there are four characters, and there is a safe zone. There's a safe zone as soon as you get out, and there's a safe zone before you get back in. There are eight slides.
Wow.
Eight slides.
Doggone it.
Man, we are sucking wind today, my friend.
You're not. I think you only have 10 points. Is that the second? That was the second round?
Second question, second round. So
yep.
One more for an update.
All right, I'm going to get 20 here.
Last question of the round, presidents.
Okay. Presidents.
Who was Jimmy Carter's vice president?
3-2-1.
No, I hate Jimmy Carter. No, but I think I got it.
You want a 3-2-1 or you
yeah?
Write
let's
it down?
Do it, and it'll just continue our streak of messing this up. If
yeah,
we're
good
wrong.
Call. Okay, 3-2-1. Walter Mondale.
Yep, correct.
Thanks. Boom.
At first, I didn't think I was going to know it, and then I thought of the 80 election with Reagan.
Yeah, 84 actually.
Oh, that's right. The first one was Reagan versus Carter.
Right. So, okay, so after two rounds, Jonathan, I'm still up slightly, 30-20.
Okay.
We kind of sucked that round. Mark took our lunch money in that round.
Well, I don't think so. I was just as good in that round as I was in the first round.
I'm talking about answering trivia questions.
Well, hey, it's all about perspective.
You were as good in that second round as you were in the first round.
I got 10 each.
Yes, I'm digressing.
Consistent.
So that means if I continue to digress, I will not get any right in this round.
I could live with that.
Okay, I knew you would. Okay, so Mark, what's the next question?
Category is food.
I eat it all the time.
Then you have an advantage.
All right.
What pickled green flower bud is an ingredient in chicken piccata?
I just want you to say the name again.
Chicken piccata?
No, I was thinking pickled fried chicken butt or whatever it was.
pickled fried chicken butt?
I was just trying to give you I wish I could say I was just trying to give you a good reason to name the episode that, but yeah, I just messed up.
The pickle fried chicken butt.
What pickled green flower bud is an ingredient in chicken piccata?
I don't think I've ever eaten chicken piccata before.
I'm pretty sure I haven't.
Oh, it's delish.
You notice it's not delicious, it's delish.
I know, that sounded kind of odd.
Yeah, it's like, man, that's very trendy of him.
Like, for sure.
You guys really don't know this. I'm shocked.
No.
Nah, dude.
We're not fancy folks that you eat guys don't like chicken piccata.
You guys don't go to, like, Olive Garden, do you?
I try my best to avoid that.
I'm not a big fan of Olive Garden.
Or
oh, yeah. I try my best to avoid Olive Garden like the plague. Because really, you get the plague there.
Or Italian restaurants.
I like Italian restaurants.
I do.
Great. I never order chicken piccata, though.
Yeah, I always get lasagna. Pizza.
Yeah, right. I'm going to write an answer down, but I don't feel confident in it at all. All right, I'm locked in.
I mean, because it's an Italian dish, I'm going to say cilantro, but I have no earthly clue.
I said artichoke.
Oh, nice. That's probably, might be.
No.
Okay.
No, it's capers.
Capers. That's a flower?
It's the bud on a flower, yeah.
Oh, I thought a caper was just a little green ball.
Yeah, it's the bud.
Bud. It's not flowered.
Pickled green flower bud.
I'm having a really hard time understanding questions today.
Are you struggling a little bit?
I think I am, because truthfully, if I'd have realized that a bud is not a flowered thing, I might have been able to envision these little... I knew the little green balls, and I know they're on Italian food all over the place, but I didn't equate that. I just thought of the word flower, and so I was thinking of artichoke being like the meat of a flowered
interesting thing. Yeah, no, I mean, I've seen capers before, but
they're all gone. Okay. I might have to do better. I might have to do that.
You might have to think about it at least.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give me this game, man.
I'm not trying to, trust me.
Thank God.
All right. Money.
Jonathan knows more about that than I do.
Money. This is old school money.
Okay.
How much is 2 bits?
I know.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll write it down.
Okay.
My dad taught me this, and I'll tell you when and why once you've answered.
Because I'm going with my Gator roots right now, because there's a character that before every Florida game comes out. Well, he used to. Back he did it up until he did it for like almost 40 years up until 2008. He retired, but his name was Mr. Two Bits. He would go 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, $1, all for the Gators. Stand up and holler. And so, I want to say it's 20 cents. because I think a bit is a dime. So I'm going to say 20 cents.
You did your math wrong.
Okay. Yeah.
If you do the math on what you just said, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar.
Yeah.
What's 4 times 2 bits to get to a dollar?
Oh, crud. 25 cents.
25 cents. It's a quarter.
Yeah, 25 cents.
Man. All right.
When?
Well, it's just because the 6 bits threw me off.
Yeah, six bits is 75 cents.
And then 8 bits would have been next.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. He said a dollar instead of 8 bits.
Right.
When I saw Roger Rabbit for the first time, it was with my dad and it was in a theater. And in the scene, Judge Dredd is knocking on a wall that Roger Rabbit is hiding behind, and he's knocking on the wall with his umbrella handle.
Yeah,
he's
shaving the haircut.
Shaving the haircut. And eventually, Roger can't hold him, where he breaks out and yells, 2 bits! And so I asked my dad, I'm like, so what? I don't get it, Dad. What is that? And that's when he told me that, well, 2 bits is 25 cents, and that was just a way that people used to try and drum up business for getting a shave and a haircut.
Very cool.
Wow.
So, final question in the third round.
Your category is comics.
Oh no! Okay, we both have pride on the line.
As in comic strips.
Never mind.
In what comic strip did Tom Wilson draw the bald lead character for?
I'm gonna write it down.
Wow, that was fast.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
This was one of my favorites as a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Bald lead character. So I know that Charlie Brown was bald, but that was Charles Schulz. Hagar had red hair. Beetle Bailey wore a hat. Garfield's covered in fur. I can't remember any bald lead characters. Opus was a penguin. Calvin had hair. You said it was your favorite as a kid, so that's a clue, because it couldn't have been like Dick Tracy or Andy North or whatever those detective ones were. I got nothing. I'm going to say Beetle Bailey.
Okay. The answer is Ziggy.
Yep, Ziggy.
I think I remember. He's a short little squat thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looked like a mushroom.
Yeah. He had a dog.
Yeah, Tom Wilson does a lot, like, used to do a lot of, like, very inspirational type comic strips with
him. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
true.
Very God-based, very spiritual-based.
I had no idea.
So, going into halftime, I'm still up 40 to 30.
I'm feeling inadequate today.
You are a little off today for one reason or another, so.
It's because Mark made a start early.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what it is.
Your brain hadn't had time to settle in yet.
That's right. I haven't taken my second cup of coffee yet.
He hasn't had a chance to like read questions online from your company to find the questions.
Your halftime question. It's a sports question.
Shocker. That's ironic.
I know. Tons of sports. Give the nicknames of 4 of the 6 northernmost teams in the NHL.
Wow.
I'm just going to... That's Bohica. Bend over. Here it comes again.
All right. Well, okay. I think I have a shot at this. I have a shot. Is this current teams?
Yes.
Darn. Is this by latitude?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm locked in. I think I got at least 3 of them.
Okay, so my biggest problem, I feel like I should get all 4, but I probably won't. Edmonton Oilers is one of them. So these are all going to be Canadian, or almost all certainly going to be Canadian. Edmonton Oilers, it's in Edmonton, Alberta, Edmonton's a few, it's not right on the, I'm trying to find ones that aren't right on the border, right?
See, and Jonathan is a Canadian expert now because he's been there.
Well, you know, I do have to pay attention to Canada
now.
For work now. Hey. Yes. And so the Montreal Canadiens, Montreal is in Quebec, which is a little bit north. It's like, it's equivalent to like Maine. The one that I've been kicking around is the Winnipeg Jets, because Winnipeg would absolutely be one of the northernmost cities, but I don't know if they still exist. I feel like the Winnipeg Jets moved. And so I don't know if they still exist, and so I'm not going to go with them. Instead, I'm going to go with the Calgary Flames and the Vancouver Canucks. So I said the Montreal Canadiens, the Edmonton Oilers, the Calgary Flames, and the Vancouver Canucks.
All right. So I went with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went with the Vancouver Canucks, the Ottawa Senators, and then the Winnipeg Jets, because they did come back.
Mm. Okay. I think we probably both got three.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I had the Quebec Nordiques down also, but I couldn't remember if they're still there or not.
I don't know.
Your teams: Edmonton Oilers, Calgary Flames, Winnipeg Jets, Vancouver Canucks, Montreal Canadiens, and Ottawa Senators.
We both got all four.
No, I because I said the Maple Leafs.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are farthest.
Oh,
north.
Yeah, I knew that,
I
too.
I believe, I'm not positive, but I believe the Minnesota Wild are actually farther north than the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I wrote down the Wild, as a matter of fact.
Did you?
I wouldn't be shocked, because Toronto is equivalent to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got three, and I got, or you got four,
you got,
and
all, I got
three?
You got four, yeah.
I got four. So I got four, actually I got five.
Right,
because
yeah.
I said I wanted the Jets, but I didn't go with them.
So after halftime, very slim margin of leading you, 55-50.
Ooh, 55-50, tight game. It may not be a good game, but it's a tight game.
Yeah.
All right, ready for round four?
Yes,
round
sir.
Round four, fight.
Your category is science.
Science!
Science!
What is the science of projectiles called?
Shooting stuff?
I'm going to write down an answer.
Okay. See, that's so tough. I'm not happy with any of the answers that are coming into my head. Physics keeps coming to my head for some reason. And so I'm just going to go ahead and stick with what's in my head, which is physics.
I said ballistics.
Oh, nice.
It would be ballistics.
All right. Jonathan takes the lead.
Ooh. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Momentum shift. Next category, fathers and sons. Who is the father of Blurred Lines artist Robin Thicke? I need first and last name.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Alan Thicke.
Oh, that was too easy.
Hey, man.
Good job.
Show me that smile again.
Oh, Lord, not again. Not again. Well, at least you got the song right this time.
That's right. Growing Pains. Dr. Seaver.
Movie storylines.
Okay.
Identify the 1987 movie by the following storyline. A high school gym teacher has big plans for the summer, but is forced to cancel them to teach an English class filled with misfit, goof-off students.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
Did you say a year in there?
1987.
Okay. Summer, English class, misfit students. I'm struggling. I think I remember a movie, like a driver's ed movie with Mark Harmon. And that was some summer school thing. Maybe it's something called, maybe it's just called summer school. English class, though. English class. 87. So I think about an English class and Dead Poets Society comes to mind, but I wouldn't have called those misfit students. I think about, Chris got it pretty fast. Could be a John Hughes movie. You would think, I think it's going to be something like where they go through a, they go through some fine literature and everybody has this awakening of how much they love these stories and they're all real, blah, blah, blah. 87. I have no clue. I'm just going to say summer school.
Man, once again, Jonathan lucks out. Mark Harmon, Kirstie Alley, summer school.
Yep, summer school.
Yes, yes!
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. That was, you know how sometimes I say, it was in there and I couldn't find it, but it just attached itself. That wasn't one of those cases.
Mm.
That was one of those, like, just sheer luck answers right there.
Mm. So.
But it was Mark Harmon.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did another one like that with a driver's ed class, I think.
I don't think so. I think you're thinking of another movie completely. But
or maybe they just, was there a kid in that movie who he had to teach how to drive because she'd never driven?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
So, anyway, after four rounds, Jonathan, you're slightly up, 80-75.
Ooh. First category of the next round, geography. Sitting on the border of Bolivia and Peru, what is South America's largest lake by volume?
Okay, I've written mine down.
There are two lakes that come to mind. Victoria, but I think that's in Africa. The other one's the lake with the funny name, which I think is the deepest in South America, and it's Lake Titicaca. So I'm going to go with Lake Titicaca.
Victoria Falls is in Africa. It might be what you're thinking of, but I wrote down Lake Titicaca.
Titicaca, it is.
Nice. Yeah, all right.
I got a geography question right.
I'm impressed. A lot of people never heard of that lake.
Mm-hmm. Come on, it's named Titicaca. Of course I'm going to know that name.
I didn't even know it was real at first. I just thought people just made up a fake word. Next category, music. What all-girl band did Joan Jett and Lita Ford belong to?
Together?
Mm-hmm. They got their start in it.
Oh.
Okay, I'm writing my answer down.
Okay. I'm familiar with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, but I don't think it's going to be the Blackhearts. I remember female bands. L7 is the first one that jumps to mind. I don't even know if they're a female band anymore. I don't remember.
L7?
It's a long time
ago.
They
were awesome.
Remember them?
Pretend We're Dead.
They were a grunge.
I don't remember them at all.
Yeah. The Pretenders, Chrissy Hynde, that's not all-girl, though. An all-girl band, and this would have been in the late 70s, not the Bangles.
Jonathan is playing my iPod in my head now because he's just saying these band names and just, bam, a song's coming up. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
I'm going to make a band name up because it seems like what an all-girls rock band would be named. And I think there might have been an all-girl rock band named this, but the likelihood that it's correct is slim to none. I'm going to say Vixen.
I was going to say, your luck is actually pretty good when it comes to trivia sometimes, but this time it is not. It is, they actually had a movie come out a few years ago with Kristen Stewart as Joan Jett in it. It was called The Runaways.
Yep, The Runaways.
I've heard of The Runaways.
Yep. Cherry Bomb was a big song.
Yep.
Oh.
It's a Guitar Hero.
And also on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack as well.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
I had no idea. Okay, cool. Hey, I learned something. All right.
Last question of the round, history. In 1614, what planter married Pocahontas and exported the first cargo of tobacco to England?
I'll write it down.
I thought there was a lot of doubt around this actually being...
could all be fairy tale?
Yeah.
Legend?
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. And so, but of course, the name is just escaping me. It's John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Loretta Lynn.
Nice, thank you. His name was my name, too, by the way.
Mm. It's Ewan McGregor.
Okay. John Smith.
Walter Mondale.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, John Smith.
I said John Smith.
It is not John Smith.
Oh, wow.
That's what everybody thinks because of the movies. John Rolfe.
Rolf the dog here.
John Rolfe.
Wow.
Okay. How about that?
It's in your social studies books in fifth grade.
Really?
I imagine it probably is.
Wow. Didn't get that right. Yep.
Okay. Going into the sixth round, I took the lead again, 95 to 90.
95 to 90?
Yeah.
All right. Your first category, literature.
Literature.
All right. Got to take a lead here.
What fictional traveler's first name is Lemuel, L-E-M-U-E-L.
I'm going to write down an answer.
How confident you feeling?
70%.
Okay. So what fictional traveler's first name is Lemuel?
Actually, let me bump that up more like 85%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Starting to... As soon as I said it, you're like, oh, okay. I'm feeling pretty good now.
It's sinking in. If you wait like 2 more minutes, it'll get to 100%.
Oh, nice.
That's the way some of my brain works. I just get locked in on something. I might still be wrong, but
fair enough.
I'll be more confident in it.
I'll be more confident that I'm wrong.
Right.
Oh, man. For some reason, Chaucer's coming into my head. And if it's the... I'll be honest, it's not coming to me, so I'm uncling this. Uncle.
Uncle. I said Gulliver.
Yep, Gulliver.
Nice, Gulliver's Travels.
He's a traveler.
That's, I say you read that.
That's as I was, when I said I was getting more confident, it's because I'm thinking the way he wrote that question,
nice. Well written.
Traveler is what's giving me the answer here.
Very nicely written. Yeah. Well written.
Next category, TV.
Oh, great.
Donning a fake heavy Jamaican accent, Yori Del Harris was better known by what name on commercials and infomercials for the Psychic Readers Network?
Oh, wow.
Okay, do we need a title or just a name?
What she was better known as.
Wow.
All right, I'm going to write down.
Yeah, write it down. Man, this, you could take a commanding lead going into this. I know this is one of the ones that I'm just going to kick myself afterwards because it's floating in this It's floating in my gray matter. I just can't think of it right now. Dang it. I'm going to say it's Mona.
Just call Mistress Cleo.
Yeah, that's right.
Dang yep, Miss Cleo.
Nice job, Jonathan.
Call me now.
Or you'll regret it later.
Last question of the round. Sports.
Sports.
What is the first U.S. city to host the Olympics?
The first U.S. city to host the Olympics.
Okay, I'm locked in.
You're locked in. I know what it was supposed to be, and I'm struggling to what happened. So it was 1904, and it was supposed to be St. Louis, but something happened, and they had to move it. And so what I'm trying to remember is where they moved it to. There's a whole story behind this.
I did not know this, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
I pride myself in Olympic history, and I do not know this. This is very interesting. I'm going to have to look it up later.
You should. I think I told you about it before.
I don't remember.
I was looking it up for the sports episode with the guys.
Gotcha.
It was either moved to Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. One of those three. Would it have been too early for Los Angeles? I'm struggling. I'm going to say Chicago.
Okay. I believe Los Angeles has hosted it three times. My answer is Los Angeles.
Neither of you are correct.
Oh, wow. New York?
St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
St. Louis didn't host it.
The city of Chicago originally won the bid to host the Olympics, but the organizers of the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in St. Louis would not accept another event in the same time frame. The exposition organization began to plan for its own sports activities, informing the Chicago group that its own international sports events intended to eclipse the Olympic Games unless they were moved to St. Louis. Pierre blah blah blah, the founder of the modern Olympic movement, gave in and awarded the games to St. Louis.
Wow. So
you had it right.
I had it backwards.
Mixed it up. Yeah.
That sucks.
Man.
I could have sworn it was the other way around.
Okay, and I must be wrong. It must be Los Angeles only must have done it twice then, because I know it was 1936, and then...
Wasn't 36.
It might have been 32 then. It was in that stage.
It might have been.
Yeah, 36 was Berlin.
That's right.
I think it was 32 then, and then it was, of course, in 1984.
Man.
Good question.
I can't believe I mixed that up. I had the information in my head and still got it wrong.
Okay, so going into the final question, Jonathan, you... with your 20 points versus my 0 points in the final and the sixth round, you're now leading 110 to 95.
110 to 95. All right.
What's the final category?
Your final category, 1970s Best Picture Oscar winners.
Oh, crap.
All right.
You just gave Chris a real chance to jump me.
If you notice, there's not very many movie questions at all.
There were not many movie questions.
Usually when that happens, you can kind of tell, like, there's very little sports questions in the first half, and that meant the halftime question.
There were very few entertainment questions altogether in that game.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a wager.
Yeah, it's still, 1970s is not my repertoire, though. So this is going to be interesting.
All right, my wager is written down.
Your big zero.
I'm not telling.
Fair enough, man.
I will tell you this. One of the numbers I've written down is zero.
Okay, good to know.
But that doesn't mean it's the only number.
Okay. All right, I'm locked in as well.
Your final question. Put the following Best Picture winners in order from the earliest to the most recent.
Okay.
The Deer Hunter, Godfather 2, Annie Hall,
hold on for a second.
And One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You said these were all in the 70s?
Yes.
Man, I'm not liking my chances at all here. This is tough.
All right, I've written my answers down. You can go ahead and talk it out.
Okay. Godfather 2 was in 1974. The first Godfather came out in 72. My birth year is 74. I kind of remember around that stuff, so... Deer Hunter is the one that's tripping me up a little bit because I can't really remember where it was at, but I do know that that was Robert De Niro's, like, one of the very first ones that really kind of put him on the map. I mean, it also put Christopher Walken on the map quite a bit.
Christopher.
Walking. I mean, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was, I mean, Jack Nicholson's very first, I mean, well, second movie, because what was it? Not Born to be Wild, but the one that...
Easy Rider.
Easy Rider, thank you. And then, of course, Annie Hall is considered to be one of Woody Allen, my namesake, weirdly enough, middle name being Allen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's who they named you after?
Dad named me after. Dad got my middle name and named me Allen, A-L-L-E-N, after Woody Allen.
Wow. Could have been Woody. That would have been worse.
Oh, Christopher Woody Hollister?
I don't know. That kind of...
I think we would all be calling you Woody if that was the case.
Wood dog. So, all right. Godfather 2 is going to be my first answer. Deer Hunter is going to be 2. Annie Hall 3, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest 4.
Okay. After hearing you talk, I'd love to change my answers around. I still wouldn't agree with you, but I would change them around.
Okay.
But I'm you know me. I don't know anything about movies. I said One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Deer Hunter, Godfather Part 2, and Annie Hall, in that order.
All right. Godfather 2, first, 74. Cuckoo's Nest, 75. Annie Hall, 77.
When streak continues.
Deer Hunter, 78.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Man. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen.
Jonathan wussed out and bet zero again.
I did bet zero, and that means I finished with 115.
Yep. I bet 50. So Ooh. You finished with 110, my friend.
I finished with 110.
Yes, 110 to 45.
110 to 45.
Yep.
So, you know what that means, Chris.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
It's another win for Jonathan. Yeah.
Say it again.
Another win for Jonathan.
Thank God there's a spit guard on this microphone. Man. All right. Yeah. Once again, just that little bit of a lead towards the end,
The lead is critical.
Yeah.
You have the whole game to work up to it. I had to come from behind on that one.
Allows Jonathan to be a complete wuss. It's fantastic.
Fantastic. You can call it that if you wish.
You call it strategery.
I call it protecting my advantage.
Ah, I see.
I earned that advantage by getting more questions right than you.
Mm.
Funny how that works.
Somebody sounds a little jealous.
I do think so, yeah. Now, Chris, we have some people we want to talk about.
Excellent.
We had some new reviews come in recently.
Did we?
We did. Actually, we had a bunch. If you count four as a bunch.
Okay.
Four's kind of a bunch. I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to save some for next show.
Excellent.
Because there are a bit here.
Excellent.
The first one
was
from Scott Dolan Barber.
Wow, that's a lot of name right there. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Scott. Scott is a trivia player up in West Virginia.
Fantastic.
And he has the number one ranked trivia team in West Virginia on the trivia game that they play.
No kidding.
No number kidding.
One. Wow.
Top level team right there.
We do. After our performance today, we don't want him playing Trivial Warfare with us because he would
He's
kick our backside.
Beat us up. So he said, although I frequently listen to several podcasts, this is the first review I've ever written. That's how much I like this show. As the captain of our top-ranked trivia team, I can say that this is as close to pub trivia as you can get without being in the bar.
That's fantastic.
That? It's pretty good,
isn't
it?
I love that, man. I would give you a high five if I could, so high five, man.
There you go. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Jake Overman.
Jake!
Friend of ours left us a review. Jake says he has a great time listening to the podcast, and the banter between the host is great. He finds himself laughing and learning at the same time. And as a matter of fact, Jake is next in line to be the Warhead of the Week.
Nice.
So, well done, Jake, you are our Warhead of the Week. We appreciate you, brother. And
look forward to
seeing you again.
Yeah, he even knows us and is listening. That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. We appreciate those people. And then the last one I'm going to read this time is from Megan Lee.
Megan, nice.
Yes. Megan said, the show is definitely one of the best trivia shows I've listened to. Chris and Jonathan are quite entertaining to listen to. Awesome span of questions. Great trivia. Keep the shows coming.
Man, and she even gave me top billing. That's fantastic.
How about that? You know, I've noticed that we have a lot of ladies listening to Trivial Warfare lately. Ladies love Trivial Warfare, apparently.
Yeah, and you know why?
Why is that?
Because Trivial Warfare loves the ladies. Hello, ladies. Especially my wife. Hi, honey.
To be fair, we love the men, too.
Hey, Jonathan, something you want to tell us here?
Hey, yeah, I absolutely love our male listeners.
All right, as long as they're just listening.
Well, what did you think I was talking about?
I have no idea, sir. I can't assume to know what's in that head of yours.
Well.
All right, before I say anything dumb, let's finish this episode up.
Too late. Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Well, Mark, thanks again for helping me lose again. I appreciate that.
Better luck next time.
Yeah, so your slump-busting activities must have gone in vain.
It really did. Really, really did. So anyway, but seriously, Mark, thanks again. It's good to have you back. Jonathan, good job.
Meh.
All right. Guys, you can email Jonathan at trivialwarfare@gmail.com.
Don't forget to send the Warm It Up Chris questions.
Yes, Warm It Up Chris questions to warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that's warmitupchris@yahoo.com, C-H-R-I-S.
Not Gmail. I don't own that address.
That's right. Somebody else does.
Somebody else. Yeah, somebody infringed on our territory.
Exactly right. So until next time, that's Mark, that's Jonathan, and I'm Chris. This is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
Enough. Now, the funny thing is, though, is that throughout the whole show, I bait him.
And then so you get mad.
I understand really why he gets mad. I don't blame him that much.
Yeah.